65,498 square miles. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get to it. This is Spanning the State, and here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Steve Scafidi.
Happy Friday! Indeed, indeed. And a very, very happy birthday to Kathy Scafidi.
Yes, my lovely wife celebrating her whatever birthday.
That's a very smart man.
She looks fantastic, though. I keep telling her, her skin is amazing. And you know, here's the weird thing. She does nothing for her skin. Well, she puts lotion. She always tells me.
Does she actually
lotion.
Do nothing, or you just not pay attention?
From what I know, she does nothing. She probably does a lot of things. But her key to life, one of her many keys to life, is lotion. Okay. Put some lotion on that. It's like for everything.
Okay.
But I love her.
I like that. Why is it a but and not an and?
I don't know.
All right. So some breaking news that broke as we were sitting waiting for Wisconsin's midday news to end. Steve can barely contain himself because he's so relieved that there has now been another 75-day extension on TikTok.
So President Golfer Man, Chief Twit in charge, the Dow is down almost 1,700 points, probably hit 2,000 by the end of the day. He can't fix that, but he can fix it for all those dancing middle schoolers out there and moms who apparently just love to dance on videos. They're good.
Have you spent any time on TikTok?
I've seen a lot of TikTok.
You've
videos.
Seen TikToks, yes. But you do know that it's more than...
I do.
Okay.
Not much more, though.
That's not true.
There's a hella lot of dancing going on TikTok.
Just your algorithm. That's on you.
Here's the thing.
The TikTok algorithm is a mirror, Steve. So if that's what you're seeing,
not
that's
true.
Because that's what you're engaging in.
Not true.
In.
If I linger on one post for longer than a second, it's bombarded with that post. Doesn't mean I even care about that post. Maybe it was something that hooked me, and then forever I've got to watch posts about guys rock climbing. It's like, seriously?
All right. Well, anyways, that is, I'm not saying that it is a good thing or a bad thing, but we talked about it yesterday, so I thought I would at least address that TikTok for now.
He walks off the golf course, and that's what he's worried about.
Was he on the golf course today?
Yes.
Or are you just making that
up? He's hosting a live golf event in this weekend. But here's the thing. He said to a reporter today, I'm not changing my policies. Anybody who's, and I have followed Donald Trump since the beginning, anybody who knows Donald Trump's policies, they change all the you-know-what in time. He's never consistent about anything other than golf, maybe. And then his cheating in golf.
All right.
Because what he does. I've seen him golf. I know James Patterson told me he's a good golfer. I don't buy it. There's a name drop there. James Patterson, one of the most prolific writers in U.S. history. How about that?
All right. So we are going to talk more about tariffs and the fallout and later in the bottom of the hour. But because I have yet to hear... anyone, even Bill McCosh this morning on your show, not defending it.
Doesn't like it, yeah. Oh, the only people that are defending it are those that work closely
with
the president.
Yeah, like the people in the administration, because that's part of their job, are selling it. But I grabbed some audio of clips of people who are, you know, allies, supporters, advocates for Trump, who have broke bad on this. And so we'll get to that at 1:35.
Yeah, the other group, I probably should have mentioned this. I have some friends that made a lot of money investing their own money in their own like self-investing way. And they are sort of the mind that they predicted the recession's coming. So they've sort of gone the other way and bet against the economy. So those folks are happy because they're going to play that and win, right?
I am related to one of those folks.
Yeah.
And
just so you know, all my friends who do that, I don't like it. And maybe I don't tell you that enough. Stop being a doom and gloomer because it's just, I don't like that kind of attitude, that negative attitude.
But is it being a doom and gloomer or is it looking at like reading the tea leaves as far as what was propped up in our economy as far as just pumping money into things and it being built on air?
The only thing that blew up this economy is Donald Trump.
Now,
I mean, I'll argue that one for a while.
All right,
Donald Trump owns this economy.
Sit on that. We will get back to that later. But
just
the
tell
thing
me to
that
sit
I
on
wanted
it?
To talk about, because I am
it.
Not going to stop talking about this, even though... the election is over. We all know once it's probably all said and done, it will have been well over $100 million spent on the Wisconsin Supreme Court election this past Tuesday. And I am calling for more campaign finance reform in our state. I think Citizens United at a federal level is a much bigger fish to fry, but at least putting pressure on our lawmakers is something I would like to put more energy behind. And so when we come back, we're going to talk to the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which is a watchdog group dedicated to clean government. And they also share this same sentiment as far as what can be done with campaign finance reform in Wisconsin. So we will talk to Nick Ramos on the other side of this on Spanning the State.
Ah, the music of my youth.
What song is this?
Aerosmith, Walk This Way.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, welcome back to Spanning the State. So, we all know we're over and done with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Are we?
And we all, well, you mean, are we?
Hey, I remember 2020. That stuff just lingers on people's minds.
You think there's going to be challenges?
Some knucklehead in somewhere in Wisconsin, some little burb in Wisconsin will argue that this election was fixed.
But is there going to be any runway for that? No one's going to pick that up.
I hope not.
Anyways, my big thing coming out of this, and I've talked about it on the show, I've talked about it on my social media, was just being so grossed out with how much money was spent. And not only that, but also just the fact that it was the battle of the billionaires, and billionaires who don't even live here. I saw one meme that was a picture of J.B. Pritzker holding a dog next to the picture of Elon Musk wearing his cheese head, and the text was, "Our billionaire beat your billionaire." And, like, that's the wrong message. That is not the slam dunk that you think it is. Like, that is not how it should be. And so I want to continue to beat this drum as far as putting pressure on our lawmakers to revisit this idea of as far as how we fund campaigns in Wisconsin. And so I'm very excited to have Nick Ramos, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan watchdog group dedicated to clean government, here joining us now. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Kristen, I got so excited when I got invited to the show. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Nick. We're very excited to have you.
Have you met my friend Steve Scafidi before?
Hang on. All right. So every co-pilot, behind every great person, there's a great co-pilot. All right. Batman, Robin, Shaq, Toby. So no disrespect, but you have to understand that I've been the biggest fangirl towards Kristen. And last time I saw her was at some kind of event, and you know, we all got to talk briefly, so this has been just one happy, I can't wait to be back. So right. I'm happy to be on the show.
We welcome you back to the show.
I'm gonna delete all of my hard questions that I had for you, Nick. All right, so you released a statement this week that said, quote, "Today should be a breaking point for our state. Even if your preferred candidate wins, no matter if you're a liberal, conservative, or independent, every single Wisconsinite should be alarmed at this grotesque billionaire arms race." How popular do you think that sentiment is amongst Wisconsin voters, no matter what political leaning they have?
Extremely popular. And here's why. I mean, we've had an opportunity to see some polling, and I'm excited next week to share some additional polling with everyone here in Wisconsin. Look, people are really tired of not only watching some of the wealthiest of the wealth dump money into our state, but what comes from that. I mean, we know that there's $100 million plus that is going to be, when the dust is settled, we're going to see that in reporting. And people want to see better use of those types of funds. I mean, think about it. That money got raised and it literally burnt all in the span of several months. And what did we get? Digital ads, direct mail pieces, anywhere. I mean, if you're watching TV, you can't run away from ads. And it's just slapping you in the face. And it's like, what does that mean for the everyday person who wants to be able to participate in our democracy? I mean, they don't have millions of dollars just laying around. I mean, but their vote is what matters. And yet we've lost so much because of our broken campaign finance system. We've lost sight of what really matters. It's people and not money. And so people are really upset. And I don't think we're going to be able to run away from this issue, because we have a Supreme Court race every year till 2030. And we have midterms next year. I mean, Wisconsin, we're buckle up, guys. I mean, we have a lot of elections, but we're built for this and we're resilient, and people want to see some change and they want to see it now.
Nick, give us a history lesson. What was the state of our campaign finance laws like prior to 2016, 2015?
Well, I mean, I won't make it sunshines and rainbows, because it wasn't, but I can tell you that pre-2015, before Governor Walker ended up absolutely opening up the floodgates to now what we're experiencing. I mean, think about it. Right now, you could max out to a governor candidate, a Supreme Court, state superintendent, $20,000. But prior, it was half of that. And then there wasn't these unlimited transfers that could happen between the committees and the political parties to the campaigns. I mean, I know at one point, Brad Schimmel, during his run, he, in a private meeting, was like, "Hey, guys, go to the party. They'll send me the check right back. If you've maxed out, don't even worry about it, because we can do unlimited money transfers, and it's legal money laundering, basically." And so you know, we've lost a lot of the disclosures, the transparency, the limits when it comes to money, and now we get to enjoy the fruits of that labor. And I just want people to know that this does not have to be the new normal. And I think people have woken up to the fact that this is only going to get worse unless something changes.
Nick, was the argument back then when this changed, kind of in the wake of the Citizens United ruling from the Supreme Court, and was it just an assumption that Republicans would be able to out-fundraise Democrats, or what was the reason at the time as far as thinking that this was going to be a good idea?
Well, again, I mean, I was here in the state briefly. I mean, I just got to Marquette Law School around the time that this ended up happening, but from what I understand, it was a combination of part what you just said, that, well, we believe that we can go outraise the other side, and so let's let the guardrails off and let's just see what we can do. But also, a lot of the conversation that was being had, I mean, and you echoed Citizens United, it's, well, money is speech, so why are we limiting, you know, these corporations, these big, wealthy, mega wealthy people from being able to exercise their First Amendment right? But what's problematic in that? Did I get to talk at all about what it means for everyday Wisconsinites and any of what I just said? No. And it's like, that's who has really have been trying to chase the runaway car right now and try and get in it. And so just know that, like, I don't think they completely understood what exactly it was that we were going to set ourselves up for. And I don't think Governor Walker imagined that we'd be breaking, you know, record after record, but maybe he did. I don't know. But, you know, it's some really wonky just logic to try and be able to open up the floodgates here.
Nick, I agree with Chris and Ann. There's an appetite for this now, just given what we've just seen in some of these recent campaigns. But it's about lawmakers. They have to change the law. In the conversations you've had, what are they saying to you on both sides?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think Republicans, Democrats, independents, I don't think that they want to become not only lawmakers, but glorified telemarketers every time they're up for election. And I think people are realizing, I mean, we just saw it. I think it was Senate District 8, the race with Jody Abish-Thinkin.
Yep, I was just thinking that.
That was a multi-million dollar race for a seat that is worth, last time I checked, I think they make about, what, $55,000? I mean, we're not talking about per diem, but like, Jesus, guys, like, yeah. You guys are raising $1 million for a seat that isn't even worth a fraction of that. Like, people, both sides are sitting there being like, all right, like, it could be very well me being outraised, outspent. So let's see what we can do to try and put some guardrails on it. But it's going to take time, because I just think that people are really comfortable and don't feel like there's pressure being applied to them on this issue. But I promise you this, some of the money in politics folks that we are working with, and we built a coalition recently, we are going to go out after this, and we are going to build a grassroots army similar to what we did with the Fair Maps Coalition. And they cannot run away from this issue. And that if you want to make your life a little bit easier and not have to do your best tap dance for the wealthiest people, that you probably want, you know, the voters to have more agency in this and be able to have like vouchers and donor matches to be able to mitigate all this desire to have to go chase the big money.
Got it. All right. Well, keep us posted as far as movement there and which lawmakers have an appetite to move forward on this. But thanks for all the work that you did, Nick, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Nick Ramos is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll do this and then come back with more. So speaking of finance,
yes,
the Joint Finance Committee hearing, at least for Southeast Wisconsin, is currently happening right now at State Fair.
When they're going to approve some money for the action group that was on yesterday.
I know. It'll be interesting to follow up with them and see how that went. I have a friend who's there right now who had never gone to one. I've actually never gone to one either.
Oh, I've spoken at them, yeah.
How do they typically go?
They're boring as hell.
That's what she said.
It's unbelievably boring. I mean, you're sitting there waiting for, I waited like hours to speak for 5 minutes.
She's like, it's hard to hear people. One, because I guess the audio is not great as far as being able to hear, unless you're up there being able to hear the person who's talking. But it sounds like there's a lot of people there, which is great.
Yeah.
What did you talk about when you went?
I think it was the Waukesha Water Project, because we were in support of it. I think that's what it was. So I was speaking in support of it, because Oak Creek at one time was the provider of the water. They went afterwards to the city of Milwaukee, because it was cheaper. But if I remember, I flexed at the meeting, and they didn't appreciate that. I flexed
physically?
No, not Yeah, physically. With my suit on, I flex. No, I mentioned I was mayor of Milwaukee, and one of the Republican members like wanted to go after me for some. I don't even remember who it was anymore.
Okay.
I don't think he is in office anymore.
Speaking so, as we were just talking to Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
He's feisty, too, by the way.
If you're running a watchdog group like that, don't you kind of have to be feisty?
I like it. I like it. I'm feisty, too.
Who would you predict, as far as knowing who some of our lawmakers are and some of the leaders in the legislature right now, who would spearhead this?
You know who would have? He's not there anymore. Jim Steinke.
You're a big fan of his.
I am, because I think he's a smart guy, a lot of common sense, and understands politics. He would have done something like this. And to all my Republican friends, this is the moment you should probably be thinking about. It didn't work out with you for Musk. You should probably shed this idea that we're just going to allow anyone to spend as much money as they can. You worried about Zuckerbucks? Do something about Musk money and all the other nonsense.
That's what is, yeah. And I mean, we have to go to break soon for the bottom of the hour news. But I think that's, it's like we passed a constitutional amendment to prevent Zuckerbucks to administer elections. Let's take that energy into the campaign finance reform. All right. ABC News and local headlines are next. All right, Steve, how's your 401k doing? Be honest.
Expletive. Trump is a twit when it comes to tariffs in the economy. That's my comment.
All right. Well, the rest of the world did not waste time responding to Trump's historically expansive tariffs yesterday. So Canada has placed a 25% retaliatory tariff on U.S. vehicles. China promised countermeasures, saying Trump's plan amounted to a unilateral bullying. France and Germany pushed for an aggressive response with French Prime Minister François Bayrou.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, all right. We'll go with that. Calling the tariffs a catastrophe for the economic world. A lot of people not happy. And the thing that surprised me was, you know, obviously we've seen people in the administration defending this, doing the rounds, trying to explain how this is going to be good for the world. But it's been interesting to see more of his Trump's allies in the media, like a Ben Shapiro, kind of break bad on some of this. So this was Ben Shapiro on his show talking about the tariffs.
President Trump declared that it was, in fact, Liberation Day, his giant tariff policy that he just dropped on the market unilaterally, probably unconstitutionally. Trump's reciprocal tariffs impose hundreds of billions of dollars in new taxes on Americans, be the largest tax increase since the Revenue Act of 1968. One of the biggest tax increases on American consumers in the history of America. And it's going to cost American consumers. It will cost American producers who use inputs from other countries. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted immediately more than 1,000 points. The S&P 500 plummeted more than 3%. The NASDAQ plummeted almost 4.5%. There are real world implications for this sort of stuff. Trade wars are, in fact, not good and not easy to win, particularly if you don't actually have a plan. It is predicated on a bad idea of how international trade works. A fundamental misunderstanding of trade deficits. Trade deficits are they're an accounting procedure. Trade deficits have pretty much nothing to do with the health of an economy. I can name you a period in American history where there was a fairly large surplus in America's balance of trade. The entire Great Depression.
So does it surprise you? No, I know. But does it surprise you that we're seeing some of these people who obviously have worked very hard to get Trump elected? And he talked about tariffs the entire time during. I mean, why is anyone surprised that this happened?
He's lost Ben Shapiro. He's lost U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who's not a fan of these tariffs because our state's going to get hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost countless numbers of other Republicans. And this is what Bill McCosham was saying this morning on PPH, that this is what this is going to be a problem for Trump, because he still needs support for his budget bill, this big, beautiful budget bill. If these guys get pissed off enough at this stuff, if they're getting all the calls and the emails and all the anger from their constituents back at home, why would they do anything to kiss his you-know-what? And frankly, you know what? You know who doesn't care about higher taxes? People like who never pay taxes, i.e. President Donald J. Trump, who tries ways to avoid taxes.
But do you think, so for some of these, like, obviously Ben Shapiro owns his own media company, and so how does he make money?
Very successful.
It's a company that needs sponsors and advertisers and stuff, and obviously a lot of those people lost money yesterday. And so do you think we start to see some of the right-wing media also start to push back on this because they're all losing money.
Wouldn't you agree Ben Shapiro is part of that right-wing media?
Well, that's what I mean. I was like, do you think that that was his reasoning is not just the logic behind it, but also because his sponsors are like, this is terrible.
Here's the line. When Fox News, and I know we're going to talk about Fox News from a sort of a different perspective, when they go off on this, when they start having their commentators, their celebrity hosts, their news, fake news hosts, start going off and teeing off on these policy ideas, then he will panic. Because Donald Trump, he can be forced to panic. I've seen him sweat before. This thing can go bad really quickly.
What do you think an example of that in the past is where he got outside pressure and caved?
As president?
I don't know. You've seen
when
he's
had
his
sweat sitting
before.
In a courtroom and a judge lecturing him. There's sweat on his brow. He's not happy. And if you do stuff like this, that pressure is coming from the people who actually vote on the ideas you have. That's going to be ugly, and he's not going to like it. And he can't do anything beyond executive orders with Congress not backing him up. That's his sweaty day.
But that the media thing is interesting to me because even this is Dave Portnoy, Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan
of Dave, by the way.
The thing is, say what you will about Dave Portnoy, he does call it like he sees it.
Absolutely.
He shredded the Signalgate thing. So this is it was a bad financial day for Dave too.
I almost tweeted out, Dave, how much are you down right now and today? 7 million. I'm down $7 million in stocks and crypto. And it's tariff city. Trump has put his tariffs all over the place. I've been trying to understand them. I don't like it's more a trade deficit tariff to me. Like, hey, we get this much from you and you get this much from us. Let's even that up. Let's get some wacky formula and do tariffs.
Portnoy not as eloquent as Ben Shapiro. But my point here is, as the trickle-down effect of that, right? Because I think we've all talked about the impact that a lot of these the right-leaning or the Portnoys of the world, the Joe Rogans of the world, had on voters, the influence that they have on people who ended up voting for Trump. And so if they continue to beat this drum, how much does that trickle down? Because that's where people get their information from, and they're like, oh, this is bad. And so then he loses more people than just the elite and some of the media. He's also losing voters.
Trump is trying to pass this off as some sort of really high level calculation that he can fix the economy forever and it's going to we're going to enter in a golden age. It's not that. There are people today, and I'm looking at the numbers right now. It could go 2,500 to 3,000. We don't have a ton of time left. We got an hour 15. This could get really ugly for anyone that's my age or around my age who has a significant amount of money invested in their futures, and that gets wiped up, cut in half. That is a huge deal. And I'll say it yesterday, I said it again today. If you're a Trump voter, did you vote for this? Then it's on you.
All right, well, when we're at break right now, let's get Fox News on to see if they've put that Dow ticker back, because as of yesterday, it was not there. So stay with us on Spanning the State.
Wow, dance club.
I was going to say, Rhea's taking us to the club.
Welcome to WTMJ Dance Club. That's Chris and I'm Steve. We're having a hell of an afternoon watching the Dow dive.
All right, it took me a second to get to Fox News on our four TVs that we have in here. But the Dow watch ticker is back on Fox because there was a little bit yesterday that Fox decided to take the ticker down while they did their shows. Does that surprise you?
No, I do think it's interesting. It's back up to you. You cannot ignore this story. And I know that Laura Ingraham was the only one of the big hosts at Fox that actually mentioned it, but she blamed it on international, big companies. They were trying to sabotage the U.S. economy. This is a cluster.
That was her reason
was
why
her
they took the Dow ticker off?
Yeah, multinational companies were trying to mess with our government. She wasn't going to allow that to happen on her show. So this is a dangerous time. Again, we're talking significant percent drops across the markets. The president is golfing or hosting a golfing event this weekend. He did have time for TikTok, as we said earlier. I think when you talk about this story, this week might be one of those moments in this second term for Donald Trump where we go, yeah, that's when it really hit the, you know what?
Do you think, what would it have to happen for the House to take up some of the measures that we were talking about yesterday of the Senate, bipartisan Senate bills of taking control back on, Congress taking control back on tariffs?
Speaker Mike Johnson losing the votes that he thinks he has to get all of Trump's agenda done. It's very close. He got a couple additions.
House isn't that close. So how, I mean, because you're like, oh, they're not going to do anything. And obviously Speaker Johnson has his agenda, but increasing amount of pressure when you have such a slim margin.
Not just pressure. He doesn't have the votes to pass Trump's agenda. If he loses that, he has no power.
Yeah.
At all.
All right. Well, another thing that happened yesterday.
Yes.
Was in the fallout of the election on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We have a new Chief Justice. So let's talk a little bit more about where we go from here after Tuesday's election in Wisconsin on Spanning the State.
You know, what a perfect song, Smooth Operator. Who have I been talking about a lot this hour in Smooth Operator, which is not necessarily a positive phrase. Donald
is
Trump.
Is it not?
No, I don't think
you
so.
You think in that...
In that context, it is. But in my mind, it's not. It's somebody who's slick.
But isn't Smooth Operator someone who gets a... Like, even if they're... It's someone who gets away with it, right? Who is like, yeah, well,
I guess that would describe Donald Trump, wouldn't
they? They finesse the situation in their favor. Isn't that what you would...
Yeah,
I don't think this situation is that.
Well, so far he has gotten away with it because he's still president of the United States.
That is true. All right. Well, I don't know, because I was not in Wisconsin when they changed the rules for the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. But you probably can give me more of a history lesson. But it was a big deal when they changed the rules as far as who was the Chief Justice, because it used to be who was there the longest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, longest
tenure. Shirley Abramson.
And now they just vote.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday... They voted that the outgoing liberal justice, Ann Walsh Bradley, is going to be Chief Justice until August, until she leaves.
So it's like an honorarium.
And then it's going to be Kurofsky.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much power that gives them, but it does feel kind of like a thumb in the wound, right?
Yeah, thumb in the eye. Yeah, it's certainly because there is work
to
be
done.
Salt
in the wound. Sorry, I mixed up my metaphors.
But there is work to be done before the new justice comes in August, so I assume that the new Chief Justice could have some sway on that, or at least push the justices in a one direction or the other as far as the work that they take up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised some of these things get pushed off because, you know, whatever you like the fact, whatever you think about the Supreme Court being partisan, which it is, liberals have control, and they will have control for quite a few years now. So that sort of lessens the emergency aspect of what liberals were worried about in this election, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're safe.
Since next week, I feel like there'll be a brand new news cycle. Is there any closing thoughts on takeaways from the election this week that you've gleaned since Tuesday that you want to close out on?
I'm incredibly proud of the fact that a lot of people turned out. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we broke the last, you know, 2 year, or the last 2 years ago, by what, 5.5, half a million people?
It's a lot.
1.8 to 2. Whatever it was. I mean, that's significant. I think, as we talked about earlier in the show, that this demonstrates that money's maybe not a good idea to pour into a race. And if we don't do something, it's going to get worse next time because that's going to be a very heated battle. And the one after that, because these are...
Also the governor's race, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, next year's a big year.
So you better fix it, Republicans and Democrats, in our state legislature. Otherwise, it's going to get really, really ugly. And the things that you think you're getting from this that you're not getting, those are hard lessons for some people. And maybe it spurs our legislature to actually take a hard look at this. And that's kind of what we talked about earlier. I hope so. I am optimistic.
Any takeaways about what it says about us as voters? Because, I mean, we looked at how many counties voted for Trump in November. I mean, I think there was over 10 that then switched to and voted for Crawford this time. What do you think that says as far as the mindset of Wisconsin? We're such a weird state.
Yeah.
We are such a weird state of having Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, of having people who voted for Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin back in 2018, people who are voting for Trump in the fall and Crawford in the spring. Like, what does it say about us?
It's that we like that sort of friction. We don't like to have one side to dominate. I know legislature is sort of an example, but there's of the other thing. But there's a reason why that happened.
Yeah.
But I think we like that. We like that edginess, and certainly if you listen to talk radio in Wisconsin for the last 30 years, we've fueled that. Not
do you
mean
think it's because there's
people.
That many individual Wisconsinites who
they love the
go fights. Back and who internally go back and forth as far as them seeing can actually not be partisan in when they go to vote. And think more critically of what they like about this person in this race and what they like about this person in this race.
You should give voters credit. But also,
I tend to think voters are smarter than consultants give them credit for.
I completely agree. And
more complicated than they give them credit for.
Yes, and all those consultants who, you know, fuel these stupid campaign ads, you should make your ads smarter, because these things are stupid, and you're just, as you said many times, they're just wasting money that could be used so many different ways for so many cool things, things that we actually need.
Well, and I called that out from the get-go, and then we're going to leave soon, but as far as the messaging around the rape kits being such a big part of this race, and it was just like, what message testing did you guys do? I don't think that's resonating with anyone.
No, that's one. Here's another one. Lead pipes. That thing should have been fixed 20 years ago, and because of politics, it's still a problem. Are you serious?
Yeah, the fact that Madison fixed that almost immediately and Milwaukee's still dealing with it is really disappointing.
That pisses me off.
All right, well, on that pissed off note, when we come back, we will spin around the state on Spanning the State.